Okay. Let's see.
Okay. Yeah, this is better. And so, what we are going to do today, let me give you quickly what's the idea, what's the map. Under this title, Encouragement in Difficult Times, I want to approach it from two perspectives. One of them is going to be a shorter reflection based on Scripture, from three places of Scripture, and the other one from the first seven verses in the first letter of Peter. I hope that you later at home can read this scripture again. I think that would be great. First Peter, the first seven verses. So before I start with the first part of the sermon, I want to share with you, and I am sure all parents here can relate to this. I remember when we arrived to Xiamen 9 years ago or something, my son Paolo wanted a bike. And I don't know if you, Paolo, remember that, but you got your bike eventually. And I was sure he would be able to do it, to ride his bike. But I still remember the first time he tried. Just a few seconds after being on the bike, he fell to the ground. Now, at that moment, me, his dad, told him, "Oh, no worries, just try again. You will make it." And then he trusted me, and he tried again, and guess what? He fell to the ground again. But not only he fell to the ground, it was painful. Because this time he hit himself and it was painful. All right, so at that moment he had two choices. Rely on his experience of failure or keep trusting his father. His experience was telling him, you failed. Actually, not only once, but already twice, or even three or four times. And look, this is shameful. All the people around saw you failing. And this doesn't work. This just doesn't work for you, or doesn't work. That was his first choice. His second choice was, yes, I failed, not only once, several times. On top of that, this is being painful, and maybe I'm losing face, but I still trust my dad, and I will keep going. So, very similar to that experience is what happens to us, when the Word of God says something, and we experience something different. So we are tempted, even us, though we are believers, we are tempted to construct, to build our beliefs based on our experience instead of trusting what Father tells us. Is that true? Has that happened to you? Okay. So, with that illustration in mind, let me quickly, the first perspective of this sermon is about physical healing. First, I want to tell you, it is impossible for us to believe that God designed illness. Illness is the result of our broken world, all over since the fall. Illness is the result of this corrupted world. Even is the result of sin. never the design of God. Let me share with you three scriptures that talks about how the redemptive work of Jesus Christ is wholesome. That means his salvation for human beings does not only refer to the spiritual aspect of our lives, but also to the physical aspect of our lives here on earth. Regardless of what one or two people's experience may be, don't forget, you have the option: rely on your experience or rely on the Word of God. It is your choice. So first, let me share one scripture that pointed to a future event, a prophetic event. This was written by Isaiah. However, he was the one who lifted up our sicknesses and he carried our pain, but he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. And with his wounds, we are healed. Even though he's grammatically speaking in the present, but he's pointing to an event that had not happened yet. And just for our usefulness, I color-coded in red what is referred to physical aspects, and in blue what is referred to more spiritual aspects, like in this case, our sins. So this prophet explains or presents the redemptive work of our Lord Jesus covering both aspects, the physical and the spiritual. Then, as a testimony of a present reality, the writer of the Psalms, of this psalm, says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and do not forget all his benefits." Which benefits? Then he lists two benefits: who forgives all your iniquity, who heals all your diseases. So the work of Christ brings together the two aspects. And then, kind of in a retrospective perspective, talking about an event that physically, historically, had already happened. The Apostle Peter, who was a first-hand witness of these events, and that he himself was a witness how the Lord Jesus both forgave sins, brought eternal life to people, and healed them physically. Peter, some years later, wrote this: "Who himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, so that we may die to sins and live to righteousness, by whose wounds you were healed." So, we have, and this is only a small sample, believe me, there is so much solid biblical support for this. So we have these two options, just like my son Paulo had when he fell to the ground. When you pray for the sick, and if for any reason that I am not going to cover now because it is a big topic, and I preached 4 sermons about that a couple of years ago, but if for any reason this person is not healed, you have the choice of building your beliefs from that experience, or still walk in faith and keep moving and growing in faith, trusting what the Word of God says. That is your choice. And I hope you will choose the path of faith, because that is what Christianity is all about. If you choose to stay in the Newton world, well, I feel sorry for that decision. The Newton world means when you base all your conclusions on only what can be seen, touched, and measured. And by the way, even for an atheist scientist, that is already obsolete since many years ago. Now scientists know much better than the Newton paradigm is not the absolute truth. So, this is the first aspect, and I hope this will bring encouragement for you. You fell to the ground. Keep trusting your Father in heaven. Keep going. Build faith. Don't rely on what your eyes can see. That's a very limited perspective. Here I am in the clinic in Taiwan, honestly feeling crushed. Just as the cracker there on the left side is, physically totally crushed. While I was there, the Lord comforted me with this scripture. Psalm 34:18. The Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit. Beautiful. I believe that He wants to bring me back to wholeness. But it is a process. And we cannot deny that the journey is not easy. But I am learning to be more aware of His presence near to me when I am broken into pieces. And let me tell you, that has been a beautiful thing. Please don't forget, sisters and brothers, when the time is complicated, when your circumstances are tough, don't forget, let no one minimize or deny your pain or your anxiety, because the Lord knows it is real. It is real. But I encourage you to be more aware of His presence becoming near to you, because this is what He is promising here. And remember always that the journey is as important as the destination. Don't try to take a shortcut, because the Lord will be all the way with you along the journey. Actually, we may find ourselves realizing that may be a privilege. And we praise the Lord for that. All right. The second perspective. So, we will go under the same topic to the first letter of the Apostle Peter.
Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who are elect exiles of the dispersion in Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, in the sanctification of the Spirit, for obedience to Jesus Christ and for sprinkling with His blood, may grace and peace be multiplied to you.
Gracias. You know, as I was preparing this sermon, I realized this is very interesting for me, always from the literary perspective. I found a lot of triads. That means a triad is like a list of or group of three elements, right? And so in these seven verses, and later there are more, I found a lot of them. And so here I want to highlight these triads. In the first two verses, we find Jesus Christ, we find God the Father, we find the Spirit, what we call the Trinity. And you know, I don't know if you have noticed, but it is actually very difficult to find passages in Scripture that mentions explicitly the three divine persons. There are a few, but very, very few of them, actually. And so this is one of them. So this is like a treasure. So we have Jesus Christ, God the Father, and the Spirit, the Trinity. This is the first triad that we find here. Then we have another triad, which basically describes or mentions words that are related to each one of these persons. In this case, Peter describes himself as an apostle of Jesus Christ, but the word apostle is the perfect link to Jesus. Why? Because apostle means to someone that is being sent somewhere with a mission or a specific purpose. And so in the same way as Peter and the other disciples were sent by Jesus, and therefore they are called apostles, Jesus himself was sent by the Father into our world, into our lives. So it is the most natural way to relate to Jesus Christ as an apostle. Then we have foreknowledge relating to God the Father. And let me see, which slide is this? This is number 11. Let me see, I can handle this. Let me see if I think I will read my notes about this. Then God the Father is mentioned in a different role, that of foreknowledge. The Father is the architect of history. Once Jesus said that some things are known only to the Father. The Father gave human beings free will, but at the same time, he knows what the outcome of history will be. Not only he foreknows, but all these important events happened in the past, happened in the present, and will happen in the future according to his foreknowledge. What is one of the main sources of anxiety and stress for us? Uncertainty. Why? Why uncertainty gives us so much stress and anxiety? Well, because we like to have control. But if we don't know what is coming, it is impossible for us to be in control. And that produces a lot of anxiety. Just ask me. I like to have control. I like to be in charge. And when you find yourself with a stage 4 cancer that has already hit your body for more than 9 years, and for which the normal doctor says there's no hope for you, and when you suddenly being used to be very self-confident and being used to have freedom of movement, and being used to be able to do many things, and you suddenly, like yesterday happened, we went out somewhere, the whole family, and suddenly my right eye, which is the only one that I can use now, was in so much pain that I couldn't help but just closing it down. And so I needed to rely on my daughter holding my hand, walking on the streets. Suddenly, I was disabled. Or what happened today? Yesterday, I was feeling more strong. When we arrived here, suddenly, I lost a lot of my strength. So, how does it feel? Naturally, as a human being, you feel anxious, you feel stressed. And if I could share, I won't do it, we don't have the time, but if I could share with you the nightmare logistics are to do everything we are doing, for me to move from one clinic or hospital to the other, and implying going to different countries, and it is, I was telling my dear assistant Vera, you know, you get this sick and you get a new job. it is overwhelming. And so the temptation is to feel anxious. But what is the remedy for that? Understanding that all events happen with a foreknowledge of our Father. If you are his daughter or his son, then you can release your anxiety, knowing that your Father in heaven knows what is coming, and you can trust him all the way, every single day. Remember, we are not orphans. Remember, when we are ignorant, he knows. When we are uncertain, he is certain. I lost my page. Thank you. When we are ignorant, he knows. It is the number 11. It should be the end of 11. To save paper, my wife helped me doing this, I insisted on printed both sides, but now this is giving us trouble. Yeah, and when we are anxious, he is peaceful, full of peace. Let him draw near to you, and the peace of his foreknowledge will vanish your anxiety away. You know, just this Friday, I believe, my wife and I, we had so many uncertainties. She has doing so much work to help me logistically and emotionally. But it was overwhelming. And you know, I still have remnants of my human nature that pushes me towards being a perfectionist. That's my original personality. And at some point, we decided, no, this is not what pleases the Lord. And we just had a long period of prayer. And we again surrendered everything to the Lord. And the peace that the world cannot understand or provide, that only Jesus, our Lord, can provide, gradually flooded us. And I can say, in humility, but with gratefulness before the Lord, all anxiety vanished away. Praise God. And why? Because he knows. He foreknows what we can. Then it comes the Holy Spirit, who provides the sanctification of the event in your life. In the case of this letter, let me say this, if I forgot if I said it already or not. What is the context? These Christians, these believers, were being persecuted because of their faith. So they were being, they were running away from their hometowns into many other provinces in Asia. And so this letter is written to them to encourage them. So in the case of this letter, the event is religious persecution. But it could be anything that brings distress to your life. Now, going back to the topic of religious persecution. Persecution of the church without the sanctification of the Holy Spirit, yes, it is a human tragedy, but it remains just a violation of human rights. But the same event, when sanctified by the Holy Spirit, becomes a fragrant offering to the Lord that He will transform into a tool to at least three things, an earth triad, to keep expanding His kingdom, to purify His people, and to edify His church. History teaches us that very clearly. When sometimes someone with the worst of intentions persecute the church of the Lord, every time we see that in history, His kingdom wins. His church becomes purified. Faith strengthens and grows. And His church is built up. We cannot overemphasize the relevance of the role of the Holy Spirit in any of our difficult circumstances. Thus, our prayer could be, Father, sanctify what I am going through. I admit this is painful, and I openly wish it would end soon, but while it lasts, sanctify it. That should be our prayer. Then we have another triad. Peter describes these believers with three qualifiers. They are elect, they are exiles, and they belong to the diaspora or dispersion. Elect, well, basically it means they are chosen. Sisters and brothers, we are not random people. We are chosen or elected people. Selected, if you would. Thus, our starting position is one of honor. Our identity starts being defined right here. We will see that the original recipients of this letter were considered by the government at that time and in that region of Palestine outlaws. And as such, they were being rejected. They were not considered of value, much less of honor. God, however, treats them in exactly the opposite way. Society would treat them with despise, while God would treat them with honor. Church, I hope you are listening carefully. I won't go into details, but let me just tell you, in case you haven't noticed, things are changing. We need to get ready. And we need to have the right perspective. If you ever become within the category of rejected, of being despised, or even to the point of being persecuted just for your beliefs, remember, this is nothing new. And if we pray that the Holy Spirit may sanctify the events around us, then this is going to be a gain for His kingdom, a purification of us, and an edification or a build-up of His church. What an honor. Exiles and dispersion, they are related. Basically means they were not anymore in their own land. And just because of that, they were put in a position of disadvantage. XICF, I don't know, but maybe 95% of us, we are not in our own land. We can relate to them in that way. As usual, I can only speak from my own culture or country. Sadly, religious persecution is still a reality in Mexico. My family belongs to a certain group of churches over there, which is not very big. It is relatively small, around 2,000 churches, but for the whole country, so it is not, it's not that big. And we have presence of these churches in many places along the whole country. But in the countryside, not in the big towns, but in the countryside, religious persecution is a reality in my country. Just last year, we sent some monetary help because several families, I don't remember the number, but it was, I believe, around 20 families, okay, in a small town, around 20 families were threatened of death. And in Mexico, that means they would be killed, okay? It's not empty threat. If they would not leave town within the next week, just because of their Christian beliefs. This is real. And sometimes we feel bothered because of some inconveniences that we may be experiencing. But certainly, as Hebrews says, most of us, probably 95% of us, we have not suffered due to our faith to the point of our blood being shed. My father, this is many years ago when he was young, used to persecute believers in Mexico. He would stone churches and people. Until one day, the Lord reached out to him, and not only he became a believer, he became a pastor. And later, he was persecuted. His place was set on fire at least twice. He was physically beaten sometimes. He was stoned a few times. What a privilege, because I can tell you, his faith became unusually purified. Praise God for that. This is just news on the internet that testifies of this situation in Mexico. And I underlined a name there because this believer who became a lawyer to try to defend these believers, we used to attend the same church in Mexico. So I know him personally.
First Peter 1, 3 and 4 says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead into an inheritance imperishable and undefiled and unfading, reserved in heaven for you."
I noticed something here that, unfortunately, very few Bible translations in English are faithful to the original language in Greek. What I want to emphasize is that it is the Lord Jesus, or the Father, God, let's say God, who according to his great mercy has caused us to be born again. So, it is not that you say, "Oh, my life is a mess until I found the Lord." No, no, no. The Lord was not lost. You were lost. And he found you. So this is what it is called, the passive voice. He caused you to be born again. He caused me to be born again. It was not my own deal, but he caused me. That's a passive voice. He's the active agent. I am the recipient. And why? Because of your pretty face? No! Even though you are very pretty. But no! It was because of his mercy. But I am missing one adjective there. His great mercy. So, this is more than enough reason. Whenever you are facing a dire circumstance, be grateful. Be grateful. Instead of keep complaining and say, "Father, thank you so much that because of your great mercy, you came and found me, and you carried me, and you saved me, you made me born again because of your great mercy." Now, born again to what? To a living hope. And again, I want to emphasize the adjective there. What type of hope? One that is alive as opposed to death. Let me see if I can find my notes here and I will read. The adjective living implies that it is not only an idea or an empty hope. It does not even depend on how much hope, how much faith you have. Our hope is alive because of a historical fact, of which Peter was a first-hand witness, of the supernatural event when Jesus was raised from the dead. That's what it says. Through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Let me say it again. Their hope, our hope, is alive and valid, not because of a wonderful idea or due to a great philosophical proposal, but because Jesus Christ indeed defeated death, and so our hope is well grounded. And now the next question is, and hope about what? Well, Peter says that it points to an inheritance. You know, an inheritance is something that you receive at an appointed time just because you are a member of a family. Or, more generally speaking, you receive an inheritance just because the owner decided to grant it to you. Peter is telling us, especially when under tough circumstances, be encouraged, have hope. There is an inheritance waiting for you. Endure, don't give up, keep going. Don't put your eyes on these things that are temporary. We find here the next triad. He describes the inheritance waiting for us as imperishable, undefiled, and unfading. Imperishable means that it won't decay. Undefiled means that has no defect or flaw. Unfading means that it is eternal, permanent, and with beauty and value. You know, and I want to confess my weaknesses. And I could not deny them because my family is here. I have hated so much mirrors recently. Because when I see the big tumor here in my eye, I have this temptation of feeling defeated. And then the Lord has used my wife to comfort me. And very recently, the Spirit gave me this scripture, but right now I forgot where it is. I need to find it again. But basically it says that if you can see something, like let's say in the negative way, as I have been doing, don't worry about it. If you can see it, that means it's temporary. It will go away sooner or later. Why you should make a big deal of that? Because if you can see it, if you want to abide by Newton, that means it won't last forever. Or as my daughter said a few months ago, you are not sick. It is just your temporary house that is broken, Daddy. Such a wonderful truth. Thank you, Father, for your mercy. Because every time I face the mirror, I feel tempted to go back to my broken humanity. But God is merciful. Praise His name. Brothers and sisters, be encouraged. Our inheritance won't decay, has no defect, and it is eternal. It is permanent. What a difference with some inheritances here on earth, which sometimes give more trouble than benefit. Sometimes rules are not clear. Who should inherit what? And we see siblings hating each other and fighting for the inheritance. Sometimes, maybe if it is real estate, may bring a fiscal problem, tax problem to the receiver, or may decrease its value quickly due to factors out of the control of the receiver. There are so many ways in which an inheritance on earth can go wrong. Peter is saying that is not the case with an inheritance waiting for you in heaven. It is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading. And Peter continues, who are being protected by the power of God through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. And I am running out of time, but just quickly, we have another triad here. By, through, for, if you want to see the prepositions, or if you want to see the nouns, power of God, faith, and salvation. I'm lost again. Oh, here, I found it. Remember, dear XICF, the first attribute, power of God. The gospel is not only words, it has to be manifested in power. Can I say that again? The gospel is not only words. And I am paraphrasing scripture, okay? It has to be manifested in power. The gospel is not limited by the physical realm which can be seen and measured. It has to be realized through faith, the second element, which cannot be seen. The gospel, this is very important, is not about self-improvement or self-achievement. It is about being saved. Jesus is not only your friend, your best buddy, or not only your counselor, he's also, and most importantly, your savior. We got a savior. We need to be saved every single day. I'm sorry I am abusing your time, but this is I cannot be here every weekend at this time. Peter continues, in which you rejoice greatly, although now for a short time, if necessary, you are distressed by various trials, so that the genuineness of your faith, more valuable than gold that is passing away, but is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Rejoice greatly. Of course, this reminds us of Paul when writing from jail. He says, be joyful, rejoice. And again, he says, rejoice. He was in one of the worst circumstances. And he's encouraging other believers in not as tough circumstances to be joyful. And Peter says the same. Rejoice, not only rejoice, but rejoice. The adverb here is greatly. They were kicked out from their towns. They, some of them most likely lost their income. Some of them probably were separated from their beloved ones. Definitely, they went into a new life as outlaws running away. And Peter tells them, rejoice greatly. And again, he recognizes their distress is real. The Lord knows your distress is real. Don't let anyone make it trivial. Is real. However, I can almost hear a tender voice in Peter saying, but you know, it is for a short time only. Be encouraged. Be joyful. It is probably like the pains giving birth to a child. I don't know about it, of course, but you moms know. Isn't it good to know that it is relatively short time and that something beautiful is awaiting? Peter says, for a short time, and then he adds, like giving hope and with a tender voice, if necessary. These words have been of so much encouragement to me, and I hope they will encourage you as well. If not at this moment, because I don't know your circumstances at this moment, you may need them in the future. So be grateful that the Lord is giving you the right food. And remember the words. There are researchers that have studied long-term survivors of terminal cancer. And they have noted some common characteristics they have, like a list of 10 to 20. And one of them that was present in all the survivors, in 100% of the survivors, is that they found a purpose in their illness. Well, they are not very far from the truth. Peter is saying, so that, third line at the end, so that, all these trials, so that means purpose. In this case, the purpose is that the authenticity or genuineness of our faith may be found to result in, and we have another triad here, praise and glory and honor. Of course, to God. If you are under a tough circumstance right now, may you find purpose on it to give praise, glory, and honor through the authenticity of your faith. And if you are not under that circumstance, again, I invite you, keep this in your heart. You may need it. And this can change the whole thing. Amen. Please stand up and we will be dismissed in prayer. Yes. Thank you so much. Father, thank you so much for your word. Thank you so much because I am feeling a little bit better than when I started preaching. And Father, please help us to keep your word in our hearts and in our minds. And that we will interpret life events not based on our previous experience, but based on your word. And may everything we do will bring glory, praise, honor to your name. Thank you, Father. In Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. Please be seated. I will be blessed by receiving some prayer too.
Shall you? Can you come up? Gina, will you come pray for Pastor Gabe? Jin Xiu and Xiao Yu have both been victorious over cancer in recent years. And so I thought they could pray for Pastor Gabe. But let me open us in prayer. Lord God, we thank you for your love, for your blessings. Lord, we recognize that it's difficult, it's challenging. These obstacles that come into our lives, Lord. We hear the testimony of struggle, of pain, of being disabled, of not seeing, of having strong temptations of anxiety, Lord. But we see the victory. We hear of the sweet moments of prayer where you comfort them and you give them peace beyond understanding, Lord. Lord, thank you for allowing them to give us this testimony that we can see your goodness. Lord, help us to store it in our hearts for the times when we will need them. Lord, this is a time where either it's going to get better, either he is going to heaven soon, or he's getting better soon. Either way, we will rejoice. We look forward to continued testimonies. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Oh, dear Father, we say amen to all the prayers and everything that Pastor Gabe taught us today. Yes, we actually know we are never defeated. Because of you, we are not defeated. It doesn't matter how much we suffer from setbacks or troubles or any kinds of issues, but we are never defeated. All because of you. Your will for us is always to bless us, not to harm us. We know that there's always hope and future, living hope and a future in you. We lift up Pastor Gabe. We're so thankful for the peace that is like such an overwhelming peace in him. Father, we know that this is not the end. Father, we look forward to what's going to happen with Pastor and his family. We know that his family, Pastor Gabe himself, and all of us, we can rejoice and we can all praise you in what's going to happen in the future. Because you are an awesome God. You are a wonderful Father. We can just put ourselves in you, Father. That is just living hope in you. Thank you so, so much. It's because there is always a good purpose in you, that why things like that happening to us. We just trust that in you, everything would be good. Everything would be fine. Thank you so, so much.
Yes. 天天我们心里谢谢你，我为着 Pastor Gabe 献上感恩。 主，我宣告主啊，真的是借着你的宝血，借着你的得胜的名，我宣告 Pastor Gabe 就完全得胜了，他身上的一切的癌细胞，奉着耶稣基督之名都要破除，都要离开。主，我宣告这个身体是完全的，恢复到你所原创的那样子，那么完美。奉着耶稣基督之名，主啊，真的是谢谢你，主啊，让我们眼睛能够仰望在你所为我们所做的这一切。 你已经得胜，你已经得胜，你是王，而且你是好父亲，谢谢你，谢谢你。
We are dismissed. God bless you. Well, let me quickly tell you, if the Lord allows me, I will be traveling to a clinic in Mexico. We don't know, probably this week. So maybe we won't see you in this Sunday. But there are so many uncertainties about the logistics, the finances, everything is complicated. So we don't know. But that's the plan so far. God bless you. See you in the future.
you.